blessers broke, if that stuff don't help you, amen. We can hope. You'll have a glorified body, brother. You'll be able to take it. Amen. Colossians chapter 4. Good to be in church this afternoon. Sure have enjoyed the day. Good spirit, good singing, good fellowship all day. It's been good to us. Sure appreciate it. Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses. I'll read down through verse number 9 like I did this morning. We'll pray together. And we'll look at verses 7, 8, and 9 and maybe even more if we get that far. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 1, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. Verse number 7 says, All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellowship in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible, and thank you for the good day that we've had thus far. It's been a joy to be together with God's people in the house of the Lord. We have shouted, we have shed tears, our hearts has been blessed and encouraged. It's been a great time of fellowship with God's people. We thank you for meeting with us and helping us. We thank you so much for that. And I pray now as we've come to the preaching part of this final service for the day, I pray that you would use us to be a help and a blessing to your people. And Lord, for that, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to this section in Scripture or verses here in Colossians chapter 4. And we'll look at the next few verses. These verses are about Christian fellowship. The Apostle Paul begins to mention several folks. In fact, if we were to read down through verses 14, 15, probably through verse number 15, we would see that Paul's mention of some faithful co-workers or co-laborers, fellow servants in the Lord. In fact, in verse number 7, he mentions Tychicus and Onesimus in verse number 9, Aristarchus in verse number 10, John Mark in verse number 10, Justus in verse number 11, Epaphras in verse number 12, Luke in verse 14, and Demas in verse 14. Every one of these men were working alongside the Apostle Paul. Now, in these verses that we just read, the Apostle Paul didn't spell out his personal condition or situation to the church at Corinth. He didn't give any great detail concerning what was going on with him and his life personally. But he did make mention of the fact, he said at the end of verse number 9, speaking of Tychicus and Onesimus, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Paul's not going to write about it, but he's going to send Tychicus and Onesimus back to the church of Colossae, and they're going to return a report to them concerning the things that are going on with the Apostle Paul. They're going to share the burden with the church at Colossae. Now, we talked about, and we made mention of this morning, these passages of Scripture, these verses having to do with our speech. And this is certainly something else that we can do with our speech, or certainly something, a wonderful ministry of speech, if you will. We can share our needs, we can share our burdens with others, and then they can encourage and assist others as well. So we have the speech in prayer, the speech in witnessing, the speech in fellowship, and the speech in bearing one another's burdens. What a blessing. We see that in these verses as well. Now, Tychicus is with Paul in Rome. He's not in prison with Paul, and therefore he is free or at liberty to carry the tidings to the Colossians. Now, Tychicus is Paul's chosen messenger to tell the Colossians how things are going. Now, we're told several things here in the Scripture concerning Tychicus. He is a brother, he is a faithful minister, and he is a fellow servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first mention that we have of Tychicus, we find all the way back. We're not going to go back and look at these verses, at least not now. We may later. But the very first mention of Tychicus in Scripture is in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 4. And in that passage of Scripture, we learn that Tychicus is an Asian. So we know his, or he's from Asia, so we know his nationality. And he was Paul's dear fellow worker. He worked closely with the Ephesian and the Colossian churches. In fact, if you will, hold your place here and turn backwards to the book of Ephesians for just a moment. And we'll see that again in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us in verse 21, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts." So we see that the Apostle Paul gave the Ephesian church almost a likeness that he gave to the Colossian church, that I'm going to send Tychicus to you. He is a faithful brother. He is a fellow servant, a fellow laborer, a faithful minister in the Lord. He's going to let you know how things are going. He's going to let you know about our affairs. That's what he said in Ephesians. In Colossians, he said he's going to let you know about the things that are done here. Now, I mentioned, come to Acts chapter 20. I mentioned it. I want to show you something here. Come to Acts chapter 20. I don't know, I just told you that. I probably don't have to look at that, but I will. I'm already headed that way. Acts chapter 20. I mentioned that Tychicus was an Asian. He was in Paul's company when he went from Corinth to Asia. We see that in Acts chapter 20. And verse number 4, the Bible says, "And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopner of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus." And so Tychicus and Trophimus were from Asia. Now come to Titus, if you will, for just a moment. Titus chapter 3. Tychicus. Sounds like he's got a tick in his name, doesn't it? Tychicus was a very faithful fellow servant of the Lord and fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. And he was sent on frequent mission trips or missions journeys by the Apostle Paul. Look at Titus chapter 3. Look at verse number 12. Titus chapter 3, verse number 12. He says, "When I shall send Armentus unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." Now, I won't ask you to turn there, but we see again in 2 Timothy, which is just a page or two over, chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." And so it wasn't uncommon for the Apostle Paul to send Tychicus on errands or missions, journeys, or whatever it was. He was a great helper to the Apostle Paul in the ministry. And so Tychicus has a good report. We should strive to live our lives in such a way that others can give a good report concerning us. And so the Apostle Paul is able to give a good report concerning Tychicus. He's a beloved brother. He's a fellow servant. He's a faithful minister. He has a good testimony. That's a blessing. Now, with that thought in mind, we should ask ourselves, if letters of this church had to be sent concerning you, would we be able to give a good report? It's a good question. Paul is sending Tychicus to other places, and as he is sending him there, he is sending him there with a good report. Could we say concerning you that you're faithful? Could we say that you get along well with others? Could we faithfully say that you're a faithful minister? You're a fellow servant. You are a beloved brother in the Lord. It is a good, it's a great, it's a blessing to have a good report. And Paul is able to give a good report concerning Tychicus. Now, come back to verse number 8, Colossians chapter 4, verse number 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. What a great testimony. Verse number 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. So here in verse number 8, we're still speaking concerning Tychicus. And I'm paraphrasing now. He said, I know that you're concerned about me. I know that your hearts are burdened because I am in prison. But I'm not going to write concerning my private affairs. I'm not going to write concerning my present condition or situation. But Tychicus will tell you all about me when he gets there. He'll fill you in. He'll comfort your hearts. He'll let you know how our state is, everything that's going on. He'll give you a full report. And Paul didn't have anything to hide. He certainly wasn't trying to conceal anything. And he could count on Tychicus to give a faithful report of what he's done. And so here's what I like. Tychicus had a great, Paul had good things to say about Tychicus. It was easy to give a good report concerning him because he was not just a brother, he was a beloved brother. He was not just a minister, he was a faithful minister. He was not just a servant, he was a fellow servant. He was willing to work alongside with the Apostle Paul and others. He was faithful in doing so, and he was beloved in doing so. And so Paul said, I am confident that he will give you a good report, a detailed report of the things that are going on concerning us when he gets there. What a blessing. Now, I'll tell you, I want to say this. I never really thought about this much till this week. I don't know that it would have been an easy thing to be a co-laborer alongside the Apostle Paul. And here's why. He had many enemies, number one. And he everywhere he went, he either was loved or hated. He either got welcomed in or he got run out of town and beat and all that kind of stuff. And so, but regardless of the situation or the circumstance, Tychicus stayed with him. He worked with him. He served with him. He was a help to him. And that's a blessing. I'm sure that it was not an easy task, but he was willing to be faithful, and he was willing to travel. He was willing to do what he was asked to do. He was willing to do what he was told to do, and he did it with a good attitude, and he's a beloved brother. Praise God for people like Tychicus. Amen. And so he didn't take the easy way out. He took the right way instead, and that's a blessing. Our churches today could certainly use more members like Tychicus. So Tychicus, we see him. Now in verse number 10, we see Onesimus. Now the Bible says with Onesimus, verse number 9, I'm sorry, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So Onesimus is going to go with Tychicus. The Bible tells us here in verse number 9 that he is one of you. So it is apparent that Onesimus was apparently a Colossian. If he's one of you, that's who he's writing to. And this certainly helps us understand the book of Philemon. We're not studying the book of Philemon at the moment, but we certainly know that Onesimus was a slave who had run away from Philemon. And Paul had met with him in bonds, had won him to the Lord. He had gotten saved under the Apostle Paul's ministry. And so the letter to Philemon, Paul is writing to Philemon, asking him to accept his slave, Onesimus, who had run away. And so Paul has good things to say about Onesimus. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't it a blessing that you can be a runaway slave in prison, and the Lord can save you and put you in the ministry, and you can be a faithful brother and beloved brother? Ain't that a blessing? He's one of you. He's from there. I know that he didn't leave on good terms. And I know that there's probably some backstory to him deciding he didn't want to be a slave anymore. So he run away, escaped all those things. He wound up in jail. But Paul is able to write a letter to Philemon. And we're not going to read the book of Philemon and say, look, I want you to receive him. He's a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. That's not how he left, but that's how he came back. The Lord will change you, amen. And so, what a blessing. Don't think this just because your current situation, you can't be used by the Lord. Onesimus had some trash in the back of his life, as all of us do. But he is still able to serve the Lord and to be a blessing and to be a help to others. I like that, amen. So, it is quite obvious that, now, if we read Philemon concerning Onesimus, we would find that he was trusted and loved. as a Christian brother. So he may have been in jail before, but he's trusted now. He may be a runaway slave before, but I trust him now. And that's the way your life ought to be. You was one thing, now you're something else because of your encounter with Christ. Amen. That ought to be a changed life. Now, look at verses 10 through 14. Now, let me say something about these verses and I'll read them. In verses 10 through 14, we're going to take a closer look at some more of Paul's friends. And I believe it's very important to have good friends. And the Apostle Paul is going to mention six of his friends in the ministry here in these verses. Let's read these and we'll say something else about his friends. In verse number 10, the Bible says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son, to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now, in those verses, verses 10 through 14, we read about six different men who are with the Apostle Paul, and he makes mention concerning these men. These men are obviously friends of his. And a lot of times we read stuff like this, and we say, well, you know, Paul's being kind. He's making mention of these men. And it is a blessing that you recognize your help in the late in the ministry. Praise the Lord for that. But what I want you to understand is Paul is not just a great soul winner. Paul is a great friend maker. And I think that's very important. It's wonderful to be a soul winner, but what a blessing it is to also have friends. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We know who that friend is. Praise the Lord for it. But if you want to have friends, you got to be friendly. Now, the Apostle Paul, we certainly know that his preaching is bold. We know that his preaching is red hot. But there's also a tremendous amount, an overwhelming evidence of how much Paul loved people and how dear people were to him and how his heart was always going out to people. So I think it's a tremendous blessing to see here that Paul's not just a great soul winner. Paul is a great friend maker. Now, I like this. If my count is correct, from the book of Acts through all the Pauline epistles, there are more than 100 Christians, more than 100 individuals, either named or unnamed, who are friends with the Apostle Paul. That's a blessing. And so through the book of Acts and through his epistles, he is always associated and mentioning folks who are laboring together. In fact, in Romans chapter 16, which we have studied that in times past, in Romans chapter 16, Paul mentions 26 different Christian friends alone in that one chapter in Romans chapter 26, or Romans chapter 16. And so it's good to have good friends. Now, I want to mention three things about these friends that we just mentioned. And I want to talk about these friends in three different sections. There are the men, first of all, there are the men who stayed, there is the man who prayed, and there is the man who strayed. And the first ones that we see, praise the Lord for the men who stayed. Can I just tell you, it's easy to quit. You can quit anytime you want to. You can run away anytime you want to. All of those things are easy to do. Let me tell you what's hard, staying. The reason there's 100 churches in our area right now without pastors is, this is not a blanket statement. I'm not saying the Lord doesn't move people. A lot of times people just leave. It's just easier than staying. Praise the Lord for people who stay. And so what we have here is some men who stayed with Paul. You think it's easy? He's in jail. You think it's easy? He's been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. He's been naked. He's been hungered. He's been in peril. And these men stayed. Most men would have been like, well, he's out of the will of God. Boy, he's I don't know what happened to Paul, but he's down yonder in jail somewhere. No, they stayed. And they didn't just stay, they helped. Praise the Lord for men that stay, and praise the Lord for men that stay and help. Now, look, he talks about this Aristarchus. Look at this. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. Now, that's a little close there. My fellow prisoner saluteth you. So we'll talk about Aristarchus first. He's from Macedonia. We learned that. We're not going to look at all these. I'm just going to talk about these men. I'm not going to run all their history. But we talk about this Aristarchus. He's from Macedonia. Specifically, he's from the city of Thessalonica. You can read about that in Acts chapter 19 and Acts chapter 20. This man is identified as Paul's fellow prisoner in verse number 10. In verse number 11, he is recognized as his fellow worker. Several things that he did. Back in Acts chapter 19, you remember when Paul was in Ephesus and that riot broke out and he had to be rescued by the chief captain of the guard? Guess who was with him? Aristarchus was with him. Back in when Paul sailed to Rome in Acts chapter 27, Aristarchus was with him. It seemed to be regardless of the situation that Paul found himself in, no matter what the situations or the circumstances were, it seems that Aristarchus was always there. Now, I tell you something. There's nothing in the Bible tells us about Aristarchus being in prison other than Paul telling us that he's his fellow prisoner. Now, I don't know, and I want you to understand this. I don't know if he was actually in prison because he was charged with the same thing that Paul was or what the case was, because they were always together, always preaching the gospel, always ministering. He could have been. But a lot of people that I read and studied about, and many different people, in fact, they all seem to be in agreement that he was a volunteer prisoner, meaning that he so loved the Apostle Paul that he willingly went to prison with him voluntarily to be able to minister unto him and to help him in the gospel. Now that's a friend. Probably ain't many friends like that. Amen. And so he was a fellow prisoner. Now, whether he was an actual prisoner or volunteer prisoner, I don't want to know the case for sure. I'm just telling you that Aristarchus shared Paul's confinement with him so he could help him and be a comfort to the Apostle Paul. Now, then there's Marcus. We see that in the same verse. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus. Now, this is John Mark. We know because of the next verse, the Bible is going to talk about these three of the circumcision. We know that these are Jews. And John Mark is a Jew. He's a native of Jerusalem. He's an important part of Paul's team. If you remember something about John Mark all the way back in Acts chapter 13 on Paul's first missionary journey, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he got scared. I don't know if he got tired of the journey. I don't know if he thought it was going to be more difficult or it was more difficult than he thought it would. But whatever the case was, John Mark quit. You remember that? He returned to Jerusalem. He left that missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas, and he returned to Jerusalem. And that caused a great tension between Paul and Barnabas and between Paul and John Mark. You can read all about that in Acts chapter 15. But that division has obviously been healed up. You see that from 2 Timothy chapter 4, Philemon chapter 1 verse 24, and 1 Peter chapter 5, 13. And so praise the Lord for folks who reconcile and continue to work together. There was a problem. It's not uncommon. Now, you might as well get a hold of this. It's going to happen. It is not uncommon, and we even see it in the Bible, men that love Jesus. Paul and Barnabas they are some of the greatest men we have record of in the New Testament. The Bible said that they there was no small dissension among them. They had a problem. And the problem was John Mark. Well, Barnabas said, let's take him, let's give him another chance. Paul said, no, ain't going to do it. Now, later, all of that was reconciled and all that worked out. Praise God for that. So John Mark is back. And praise the Lord for those. There's only a few in the number, but praise the Lord for those who get back at it. He could have quit. He could have said, you know what, I've made a mistake. I'm done. I failed on that first journey. I'm just going to sit down and suck my thumb and lick my wounds and I'm going to quit. No, he didn't. He's back, and he's not just back, he is sticking with it, amen. And so, praise the Lord for those who stay. Now, I don't have time to preach on Barnabas this afternoon, but I'll tell you this, he is back largely because of Barnabas. Barnabas' name means son of consolation, and I believe that Barnabas was a great comfort and a great encouragement to John Mark when the Apostle Paul was like, look, I'm not. He's not going with us on another trip. He stood me up last time. He left us in a bind. He left us in a bad situation. I'm going to take Silas. You can take Mark. You can take John Mark. Do whatever you want to do. But what a blessing that John Mark is back working and serving the Lord and being faithful in doing so. Amen. And so we see Marcus. Now look at verse number 11. So we see Aristarchus. We see Marcus, which is John Mark. Then verse number 11, and Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. So Justus, he is also a Jewish believer, and as you can see here, he's one of the circumcision. He worked along with the Apostle Paul as well. We don't really know anything about him other than what we're told right here. Justus represents those faithful believers who faithfully serve the Lord, but their deeds are not announced for the whole world to know. We don't know anything about what a great blessing to have your name mentioned in the Bible, in the canon of Scripture for all eternity, for something that's good. We don't know a lot about him. His name isn't in the bulletin. It's not on the church sign. He's not being recognized for his work. But he is someone that has stayed faithful to the Apostle Paul. He doesn't get all the accolades. He doesn't get all the attention. He's not up in front of the crowd. But praise the Lord, he is there and he is faithful doing it. Amen. So may the Lord to help us to just be faithful. So Paul said, these only, look at this, these only, in the middle of verse 11, are my fellow workers. So this word only in this phrase is a reference to how few co-laborers stuck with the great Apostle Paul after his imprisonment. And yet this Justus, we don't know much about him, but we know he's a faithful fellow worker. That's good enough, amen. What a blessing. Now, skip down to verse 14 for just a minute. Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician. Now, we're talking about the four who stayed with the Apostle Paul. Luke is one of those who did. We know a lot about Luke. He's a very important man in the early church. He's a writer of the Gospel of Luke as well as the book of Acts. There are many who, there's a lot of things. We know that he journeyed, he was joined the Apostle Paul at Troas, Acts chapter 16, where the Bible uses that word us. We know that that Luke is traveling with him. Luke traveled with Paul to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 27. Luke remained with Paul until the very end, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Luke was a beloved Christian. He was a skillful physician. He was a devoted friend. He was a careful historian as the writer of Acts. He was all of that in one person. And so Luke is this. I like this. He is a great example of a professional man who is using the skills that God has given him in the service of the Lord. And he's willing to go wherever God wants him to go, and he's willing to do whatever the Lord wants to do. In spite of his professional position, he put the Lord first and had a desire to do what God would have him to do instead of using his earthly skills for just financial and physical gain. What a blessing that a professional man or any man would serve the Lord and be faithful in doing so. It's proof that it's possible to do both. Amen. Now, it's also proof that we need professional men in the church and in the service of the Lord. So we see the men who stayed. Now, look now. Now this is, I probably don't have time to deal with it. I could preach an hour on Epaphras. But he's the man who prayed. And look what the Bible said in verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. So Epaphras is only mentioned by name three times in Scripture. First time is in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 7. Then it's here in chapter 4 and verse number 12. And then he's mentioned in the book of Philemon in verse number 23. Now, in those three verses, for you young men that like to preach, if you'll write those three verses down and look at them, there is a four-point alliterated outline that you won't even have to make up. The Bible gives it to you. And they're about Epaphras. And he is a wonderful man, but he's a prayer warrior, I'm telling you. And praise God for men who pray. And I'm not gonna preach this sermon. It's a whole sermon itself. I'm gonna give you the outline. Epaphras was a fellow servant. Look at chapter 1, verse number 7. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So he is a fellow servant. According to the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it means that we serve the same master together. Now, again, I promise you that the Bible is not like you and I. When we were in school, we had to write an essay. It had to be 3,000 words. We used adjectives to fill up space on the paper. The Bible doesn't do that. If the Bible says concerning Epaphras that he was a dear fellow servant, you can rest assured that the author didn't put that in there just to fill up space and add a word to his essay. It's because he is a dear fellow servant. And so Epaphras is a dear fellow servant. So he's not just your run-of-the-mill servant. He's dear, amen. And so now, look at also in the verse. So that's the first thing. He's a fellow servant. That's your first point. There's a lot of things you put with that. Here's your second point, also found in verse number 7. Epaphras was a faithful minister of Christ. It's already alliterated for you. He was a fellow servant. He was a faithful minister of Christ. Now, Epaphras doesn't have a title of apostle. He doesn't have a title of a pastor. He doesn't have a title of prophet. He doesn't have the title of evangelist or missionary. And yet he is a minister, not just a minister. He is a faithful minister of Christ. He is not a minister to the Colossians. This is going to hurt your feelings. He's not a Baptist minister. He is a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need, amen. I'm proud to be a Baptist. I'd be ashamed if I was anything else. But I am a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so praise the Lord. So he's a dear fellow servant, and he is a faithful minister of Christ. Now there's a lot of things you could put with that. And in fact, you can see I'm skipping all kinds of notes. Now look at chapter 4. Look at verse number 12. So Epaphras was a fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ. He fervently labored in prayers. That's our verse in verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Always labor. I want you to look at it when I read it. Always, not occasionally. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Now look, he wasn't praying for their snotty nose and their ingrown toenail. That you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And so he was always not just praying, but laboring in prayer. He was not always laboring, but he was always laboring fervently. Man, what I'm telling you, I can't articulate this. This man was not just saying words. It wasn't just once in a while it came to his mind. No, he is laboring fervently in prayer for the Colossians. And he's not just praying about anything. He is praying that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Can I just tell you how I want you to pray for me? That I would stand perfect and faithful in all the will of God. And I wish you would do it always, fervently laboring. That's a lot to ask for, but I'll take it. I'm talking about your outline, man. You can talk about laboring and fervently, all of that stuff. Now, and for what they were praying for, what a blessing. Now, let's look at this final thing and about Epaphras, and then we'll talk about the man who strayed. We'll be done. Philemon. Look at Philemon quickly. This is the third time that this man is mentioned. Epaphras is mentioned in Scripture. And Philemon, verse 23, it's a little book right before Hebrews. Epaphras was a fellow servant. He was a faithful minister of Christ. He fervently labored in prayers, and he was a fellow prisoner. Look at this in verse 23. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Now, we don't have any record as to what caused or what happened to cause Epaphras' arrest and imprisonment. We just know that he was there with Paul. And so, let me say that you can be a fellow servant of Jesus Christ, and you should be. You can be a faithful minister of Christ, and you should be. You can labor fervently in prayer, and all of us should. We ought to be taking advantage of that opportunity, but there's no guarantee that all of that's going to give you a life without problems. Because we mentioned those wonderful things about Epaphras, and the last thing that we know about him in the Bible is that he's in prison. It'd still be worth it when you stand before the Lord. And as Joy sang that song this morning to start Sunday school, what a blessing that. There's a better day coming, amen. I'm going to be with the Lord. All right, now come back to our passage, and I'll be done. I'll stop. Look back at Colossians chapter 4. Look at verse 14 again. We talked about the man who stayed, the man who prayed. How about the man who strayed? Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now, I'm not going to preach a great deal about Demas. Even if we don't go outside of the verses that I read from verses 10 to 14, did you notice something different that he said about Demas? About every other one of those men, he said something about him. Fellow servant, fellow laborer, faithful minister, and Demas. He didn't have anything good to say about him. I don't want to be a Demas. I want to be a fellow laborer. I want to be a faithful servant. I want to be a faithful minister. I want to be a beloved brother. I don't want to be a Demas. And so, and Demas. And of course, we know that the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10, speaking of Demas, who forsook him because he loved this present world. Without going into a lot of detail about that, can I just say that this world is full of Demases? Demas was not a devil like Judas, nor was he a Christ rejecter like Pilate. It's quite possible that he was a King James Bible-believing, premillennial, rapture-believing, bus-running, door-knocking, street-corner-preaching Baptist. But he loved this world more than he loved the things of God. And so Demas forsook Paul when Paul was in jail. He left Paul to die. Demas' fear of the world compelled him to abandon him, to abandon the very people that he should have been there to help. You can't love the Lord and love this world at the same time. Pretty soon your allegiance is going to lean one way or the other. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people who know the truth, they believe the Bible, they've trusted Christ their Savior, they've been born again, but the world has such a tug on them. They're not beloved, they're not faithful, they're not a minister, they're not a fellow servant, they're just Demas. Lord, help us not to be a Demas, amen. In a world full of Demases, let's be a Tychicus. Father, thank you for the Bible, the opportunity to pray. Help us, Lord. I have many flaws. Lord, I need so much help. I love studying these men in the Bible. I love looking and reading about what they've done, who they are, what they're doing. And Lord, I want to be an Epaphras. I want to be an Aristarchus. I want to be a Tychicus. Help us, Lord, we pray. Sure love you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.